Last week I stood here and we talked about leading the Buffalo Bills franchise into a new era. I promised our great fans to be laser focused on delivering three specific elements. To be a forward thinking, progressive, attacking organization in everything we do. Our firm belief is organizations win championships, individuals do not. We promise to leave no stone unturned in leading this franchise and creating a new legacy that our fans will be proud of into the future. And third and lastly, we wanted to identify top talent to lead this organization to where all of our fans and stakeholders deserve to be. And that's back to a championship contender. We believe we did just that. After Buddy Nix, Doug Whaley, Jim Overdorf, and myself went through a thorough, exhaustive, and exhilarating search in hiring the right man to build the future and the culture to a winning franchise. It is my honor and it is my privilege to introduce the next head coach of the Buffalo Bills, Doug Marrone.
Thank you, man. Nolan, how you doing? I see you there. I'm doing well. I think it's important to start off and making sure that, I talk about this, and I think people at Syracuse will say this. I had said that, Syracuse was my dream job, and I did, and I meant that when I said it. Having the opportunity to restore a great tradition of Syracuse football, made my dream a reality. I wanted to thank Chancellor Nancy Kanner, head of Board of Trustees Dick Thompson, and obviously our athletic director Darryl Gross. Well, today I'm experiencing another dream come true. I moved on from Syracuse, to be with this outstanding organization. And I want to thank Mr. Wilson, Russ and Buddy for what they've done. When you think about it, I was born and raised in this state. I went to school in this state. I came back. My first coaching job ever was in this state. My first head coaching job was in this state. And now with my dream of being an NFL head coach, again within this state. And it means a lot to me. I had some opportunities to make a choice, and I've chosen to be here. I can't tell you how excited I am to be the head football coach. I can't tell you how excited I am for my family and I to move up here. We're looking forward to it. I'm excited about working with the people in this organization, but I'm especially excited about working with the players. I really feel great about that and building a trust. I've gone through this. I was a player in this league myself. I was a coach in this league for 7 years. I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited to be working with them. I hope they're as excited as I am in getting together. I want them to know we'll be in communication with them. Obviously, there's a lot of work to be done. If I'm in the building, I want them to come into the office, meet with me. I'm looking forward to those opportunities. And again, I want to thank everyone for being here. I want to thank the people in Western New York. And what a great day this is.
We'll open it up for questions, guys.
Okay, Doug, why could you sort of sum up why Buffalo and how do you view why Buffalo in general?
Well, again, I'm not going to stand up here and say, I lived in this town, I know this town. But I feel this town. And the core values here, again, are one of the things that I look for. I love the people here. We're going to be proud of this organization. And the comfort level through this thorough process that Russ spoke about, I have complete trust in Mr. Wilson, Russ, and Buddy, and the rest of the organization. And I think at the end of the day, to be successful, You know, you have to be at the place where you're most comfortable. And I'm most comfortable here in Western New York, and I'm most comfortable working with these gentlemen right here.
Doug, what approach, your approach, I mean, obviously it's your first day, and congratulations on this hiring and your job, but four coaches have preceded you and have failed in delivering upon the vision that they vowed to deliver on that at that same podium. How do you change this culture, which Russ Brandon is even, and this franchise, the direction of this franchise, which Russ Brandon has called being tarnished?
Well, I'm not going to talk about the coaches that were before me, and I don't know what their philosophy was. But I do understand the responsibility that I have, not just for the players, the organization, but this region. So for me, I'm excited to get back to work. You know, as soon as we're done here, we're going right to work. And again, it's a lot of responsibility. I feel I'm the best person for this job. Obviously, it was thorough, you know, with Russ and with Buddy. I knew them, but no different than knowing a lot of people in the NFL. But after these past couple days, I think we know each other quite well. So again, I'm excited about this. I've done this before. Been in this league as a player, been here as a coach. I've gone through this change, and I'm excited to work with the players in that change.
Adam. Doug, Adam Benigni.
How you doing, Adam?
Good, how are you?
Great.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You got things turned around back on track at Syracuse. Can you draw parallels with the process you went through there? Can you talk about how you did that there, and does that apply to the NFL, or is this a completely different situation?
I think there are some principles, but you know what's funny, and I know what's going on. I think a lot of players right now are thinking, you know, is he going to take a college football approach mentality or a pro football coach mentality? You know, this is the NFL. This is the highest level. You know, I've been a player in this league. I've coached in this league. So, again, I have a good insight to the NFL. So, for me, I'm excited about taking those principles and those approaches that we've used in the NFL and, again, discussing that with the players and making sure they know what my expectations are and what their expectations are of me as the head football coach. So that's what I'm looking forward to in the process.
Coach Mike Catalano.
Hey, Mike.
Talk about picking coordinators. That's a key thing for any coach. How will that process work, and will that be your call on who will be your coordinator?
Well, one of the things I believe in is making sure people work together. And I have the greatest people to work with to my left right here. So for me, there is a process. You know, it's going to be thorough. You know, we're going to pick the coaches that best fit what we would like to do. In doing so, I want people that want to be here. And that's the one thing I can guarantee you. The coaches that we speak to are going to be coaches that want to be here and coaches that do not have an ego, that understand a work ethic, and that are going to be willing to work with these players and get the job done.
Okay, Sal.
Doug, do you have a preference on your coaching staff in terms of do you want guys with NFL experience? Are you happy with some of the guys you had at Syracuse? What do you have a prerequisite, I guess, is what I'm asking here.
The one thing I've learned about coaching, I've learned there's great coaches in all areas, whether it be the high school coaches here in Western New York that they've done a great job, whether it be, you know, the lower level, Division III, II, or 1AA's, whether it be in college, whether it be in the NFL. What I'm not going to do is put a parameter around exactly what I'm looking for from a certain position. Obviously, with the coordinators, we want people that have thorough NFL experience as far as especially on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, we want people with NFL experience. So I think our coordinators, we want to make sure that they've been in this league. This is a very, very difficult job. Okay, being an NFL coach. But I'm not going to sit here and say three are from college, X amount. I think at the end of the day, we need to find the best fit where we're going to be most successful.
Jared. Russ told us last week he's starting an analytics department, cutting edge stuff. I'm wondering how suited you are for that. And also, and he could address that too, how many new people are going to be hired for that department over and above what you're going to bring in as coaches?
Well, you know, as far as analytical process for what we do in football, obviously we've been using that quite a bit. I believe Nolan knows that. Obviously, Dave Ramey, who covers our team now. But we've used quite a bit of it in New Orleans when we were there. You know, we want to be innovative. We want to use that to be on the cutting edge and push us forward. So, again, it's part of what we do. It's part of our planning. It's part of our process. And I'm looking forward. You know, Russ and I have talked about some ideas. You know, we've used some things at Syracuse. And we're looking forward to implementing those programs and being on the cutting edge. Hey, Joe.
You've been described as an offensive guy, and what in your time with Sean Payton in New Orleans for 3 years, how much of your core philosophies as an offensive mind come from that time spent with him? And in terms of being a head coach, are you going to be one that wants to call your own plays, or do you trust your offensive coordinator in that capacity?
Well, I think the main thing is when you're the head football coach, you know, you want to make sure that you're truly the CEO of the program, that you know what's going on offense, you know what's going on defense, you know what's going on in special teams. So from a management type of style, that's who I am. You know, I have to make sure that we know how we're going to win games and make sure I'm managing all those three phases. So, again, it'll be with the coordinators. I'll be heavily involved in game planning. I do take offense when people say, hey, you're an offensive coach. I've been attacking defenses my whole entire life, you know, so I will say, you know, can you go out there and call it? That is one thing I haven't done defensively. But again, I understand coverage, I understand front mechanics and things like that. So I have a great understanding of defensive football as well as special teams.
So, Doug, where does this sit in your career arc? Did you get into coaching wanting to be an NFL coach someday? How did this develop for you?
Well, I think for me, you know, I'm like a lot of people in this town. You know, I'm just this kid from the Bronx, you know, and I had a dream to go play college football, and no one really thought I'd be able to do that, and I was able to do that. You know, I had a dream to play in the NFL, and I was able to do that. So I'm a big believer of, and we try to do this with my children. When I talk to the inner city kids, you know, you have a dream. You know, now when you start your process of how you're going to work for it, those dreams, working hard and putting your nose down, all of a sudden those dreams start becoming a reality. So for me, you know, I don't know where the journey is, okay, or where it's leading. I know right now there's an emphasis for me to do the best job I can here. The one thing I am thinking about is really when this is finished, I'm just dying to go to work because we have a lot of work to do.
When did you determine that this was you were ready for this step, or it was time for the NFL?
Well, honestly, I'll tell you this. You know, when I was in the NFL and I was the offensive coordinator in New Orleans, and you know, I would look at that seat of the head coach and I would say to myself, you know, I'm ready for this. But that's where I appreciate my experience at Syracuse, from the managing style of myself and the things that I've learned there and being a head coach. So, you know, being a head coach for 4 years at Syracuse has helped me. And for me, my one dream, which obviously became a reality, was restoring that program. I think we all know, especially here in Western New York, Central New York, we have a lot of Bills fans in our area. So to be able to get that program back on track and to create a foundation for it to be successful for a long period of time was important. Now I go into the next level, which is the highest level of my profession and one I have a great appreciation for. So I'm truly excited about it.
There was a report or a talk yesterday in which you made presentations. You went over game film of some of the teams that you were interviewing with and kind of outlined what went right or what went wrong or something to that effect. I'm not sure if that was accurate. Just wondering if is that what you did?
Is this where the cliche comes? Don't believe everything you hear?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but I'll tell you one thing. The process that we went through here was probably more thorough, as long as a process that I've ever been through. And I think the one thing, and I hope Russ and Buddy have felt this for me, you know, right from the beginning, this is where I wanted to be.
Just as a follow-up, what are your thoughts on what did you see from what are your thoughts and, on what may have gone wrong with the Bills this season if you had a chance to review much of that? I know you've been coaching Syracuse. Yeah.
I haven't. And that's you know, so honestly, a lot of the questions about how do you feel about this position, how do you feel about this player, I don't think anyone could truly understand the process. Obviously, my process at Syracuse ended with the bowl game, and then immediately there was a process of opportunity for me in the NFL. So it's been nonstop. It's been every single day. It's been, you know, extensive meetings and time. So I'm not going to be able to comment or give you insight to really those some questions that you may have. And I really hope you appreciate that. So in saying that, that's what I say when we're done here, I've got to go to work.
How would you describe your philosophy on offense and defense? And within that, getting back to your experience with New Orleans and Sean Payton, how important that was in sort of coalescing what you wanted to do?
Again, for me, what's important is that I'm big on talking to players first. And I don't want to talk to the players on our team, okay, you know, through the media. Meaning that I want to make sure that we're sitting there in a room, okay, as a team, and explaining to them exactly what our expectations are. I have that. I'm looking forward to that. And I think that's important. You know, trust is a very, very important thing. And it's gonna take some time, you know, for me to get to know the players, for the players to get to know me. But I'm excited about that time.
Leo. Just to reiterate, just clarify, you won't be calling plays, and what's your thoughts on the quarterback here? Do you need how desperately do you need a quarterback?
Well, I tell you what, you know, the answer to the first question, no, I will not be calling the plays. But to answer that, everything will go through me. So everything is game planned, offensively, defense, and special teams. We have a plan going in. When the defense is on the field, I'm on the headset with the defense. You know, we're going through it. You know, there's decisions made, game management decisions that are made. I'll be part of that process. Same with special teams and the same with offense. The second part of that question is I have not had the time to make those evaluations. And I do not talk about players in the press. I'm looking forward to evaluate this team with our great scouting staff, getting together with them, and starting that process. So there's a lot of things going on right now for me. The hiring of coaches, the evaluation of our football team, the plan that we have going forward, okay, with mini camps and OTAs, calendars and schedules, a lot of them I've been working on in the past couple of days. Nolan.
Was there a point during this season, I mean, did this opportunity come to you after the bowl game? Was there a point during the season where you started thinking, maybe it's time for me to look back at the NFL?
No. One of the things I've learned in life, and I think that if you ask Coach Payton, we were talking about this last night, I'm a big believer. You know, when you have a responsibility, you put your nose down and you work as hard as you can. Through my experience, people that have looked for the next job or the next jump really have shorted themselves and the organization that they've been in. So for me, throughout my whole life, I've really believed whatever my responsibilities I was given, my nose was down to the ground and I just worked, and really people have asked me of my interest level. So to answer your question, I would say absolutely not even close.
I know you don't want to talk about individual players, but after a season in which rookie quarterbacks made the playoffs in the NFL, could you see yourself playing a rookie quarterback just to get him going rather than a veteran who would give you a better chance to win right away?
My stance, okay, on players at every position, not quarterback, okay, whether it be quarterback, defensive line, or whatever it may be, we will play the best players that give us the best chance to win. I don't think I can say it any more clearer than that.
Good. Doug, you're talked about being able to attack defenses and an understanding of defense. As an offensive mind, what schematically do you think is the most difficult to attack? A 3-4, 4-3, is it based just on the personnel? And might you be leaning toward a coach that would coach one of those systems?
Well, I think what you said is interesting, and I think that's a great question. I would tell you a lot of it is on the personnel within those systems, okay? So we are going to look at the personnel together collectively of what we have, and we're going to see what best fits us. And that's the best way I can answer that question right now at this moment.
Okay, time for a couple more for Coach, and then we'll go on. Adam, you have one.
Coach, in doing some of the prep work yesterday where this had come out and talking to some Syracuse media, there was one comment that kind of tabbed you as maybe a little bit thin-skinned.
Who? Me?
Bud Baldwin suggest. Just your reaction to that.
I got a great reaction for that. Okay, one is I love Bud. Okay, I do love Bud, so I want to make sure that's out there. I'm an old school offensive lineman, and I think anyone that's ever played offensive line, which really is how I was brought up, you know, I was always the kid that couldn't play Pop Warner because, you know, I was the big chubby kid, you know. So I've learned about, you know, having thick skin for a long period of time. So for me, I wouldn't agree with that comment, but I respect whatever Bud says because I hold him such high regard.
Question, the subject of discipline.
You've had the most questions today. I'll tell you that right now.
discipline, you're kind of credited with instilling more discipline in Syracuse. How do you, can you comment on how you approach that
sure.
in the NFL, and you know, as a player, I've read that you kind of always wanted to know why,
why what?
Well, why you were doing things from your coach.
I agree with that. When I was a player, you know, I wanted to make sure. In my philosophy, when I was coaching, when I was a position coach or the coordinator, you know, I want to make sure that I'm communicating with the players why. I think every organization I've been part of, from my high school career, okay. All the way through my career, you know, the success we had, part of that success has been discipline. And I just think that's important.
Okay. Time for one more for Coach.
Good. The 53-man roster, when coming out of training camp, do you view that as the coaches, will you have final say on the 53-man roster coming out of training camp?
Again, we're going to work together. That's why I'm here. You know, I chose to be here, all right? I love this area. I love the people I'm working with. So we're going to work together, you know, to go through those decisions that have to be made.
A quick one for posterity. Your coaching staff, when will you begin interviews and when do you want to have it in place?
Right now I have a balance of things to do. And I have a balance of putting together a staff, working with our scouting department, getting an evaluation of our current players, and then looking through the process of, you know where we're headed, what we're talking about, and again, it's a process. Probably when that gets complete, then it'll go into the college area. So there's a lot of work to be done as we move forward.
Okay, Russ, you want to come on up and maybe answer a couple of them for
me? Love to.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we'll have a few for Russ, and then we'll have Buddy come up. Sal, go
ahead. Hey, Sal.
How you doing, Buddy? Long week?
Long week, good week.
What? Tell us why. I mean, you've had guys on the radar. Interviewed at least five guys that I know of. Why was this guy the guy? Because you said exhausted, it was done in a week.
Yeah, it was. I think we met with Doug about five times during that week, and we met with some other tremendous candidates. And you know, Buddy led the search, and we were all a part of the process. I mentioned Doug Whaley and Jim Overdorf and myself. And when we looked at the criteria for what we were looking for in our next head coach, we wanted toughness. We wanted intellect. We wanted a culture change, a guy that will bring leadership, competitive leadership. We wanted to hopefully have someone with an NFL pedigree and head coaching experience. Doug was a perfect candidate. What he was able to do in Syracuse when he took that program over from where it was to bring that program back to beyond respectability, and the competitive fire that he brings to the table and his level of accountability that he brings across everyone in the organization, everyone who touches football. And he will lead this organization, as I mentioned earlier, to the winning formula. I'm highly confident in that, and I know Buddy is.
Just to follow up, for a wow moment, in any of those five interviews you had with Doug, was there a particular wow moment that put you over the top?
Well, I think from the first time we actually got together, you know, we were very impressed with Doug. We had extensive dialogue and conversations throughout the process. And Doug's ready. He's done it. He's done it as a player. He's done it as an NFL coach. His references are impeccable. To have the experience of going back to college and managing the head coaching position at a Division I university, he's the right man to lead this organization, unquestionably.
During this thing, how much of it was based on you're talking to other people about not only Doug but the other candidates? For instance, I read someplace that Bill Parcells was very complimentary about Doug. Did you base some of your decision going in on what others were saying, or was it mostly just on the face-to-face?
Well, I think, Ed, you know, it's great to get information from other individuals, people that have worked with that individual within those certain buildings and franchises. But the decision of hiring the head coach was placed on the in the hands of the group that I mentioned. And that's when we made our decision as a group. And as I mentioned earlier, he was the unquestioned leader, the unquestioned person to lead this franchise, I should say.
Even though the coach says we can't believe everything we hear that Doug was on the short list of other teams. Did you sense that? Did you know that? If that was true, and did that give you a sense of urgency to get this done?
I mean, there's no question Coach was leading candidate in more than a few organizations. We kept an open dialogue throughout the process, and then we worked together on that. I don't worry about other organizations. I worry what's in the best interest of the Buffalo Bills. And when we were ready to make a decision, we made a commitment to ourselves and to our fans and to our stakeholders that we would go through this process in a very thorough fashion. And I am highly confident that we delivered that message.
You guys acknowledged that you had met with Doug on Friday night, you acknowledged that a meeting had taken place with Doug. Can you kind of take us through, were there follow-up meetings Saturday and then the whole Saturday evening, early Sunday morning? Can you shed some light on
those negotiations? I'm not going to get into specifics, but it was late nights and early mornings, and maybe they sort of blended together, actually, quite honestly. So it was, we had an opportunity to get together a few times throughout the week, and we worked long and hard to come to an agreement.
Russ, you might have inferred this in your initial response, but was he the top choice from the get-go, or did you have another leading candidate that didn't materialize at the rate in which you wanted it to develop? How did that all go down?
Well, I think Doug distanced himself throughout the process. I mean, he's everything, as I mentioned, when you look at the criteria we were looking for, to have the opportunity to spend time with the other candidates was a tremendous experience. It was some outstanding individuals that we all have relationships with throughout our time in the league. But Doug Marone, as I keep mentioning, he's the right man to lead this franchise. We're very excited about the future.
Does it help that Marone is so known in this community and in this region of the state? I mean, does that help with the Bills brand?
I didn't care if he was a coach at University of Tahiti. From the standpoint, I mean, it's a legitimate question, obviously, him being from Syracuse. But, our focus was on the best man for the job, wherever that individual came from. And it's great. I mean, I've mentioned every once in a while, I'm sort of a product of regionalization. He's even a larger product of regionalization, being from downstate. So he knows the area, and he knows the tradition of this franchise. He respects it.
Eric Reinhardt, WBEN for Russ. I kind of piggybacking on that question. Do you think this, you try to build the brand, the regionalism brand for the Bills, can this hire help in that task?
It certainly doesn't hurt, but there's absolutely a non-factor in any decision we make with the football operation. Everything is focused on the head coach and who's going to lead us, and that didn't play into it at all. Jerry?
Do you think it helped you that he was perceived as a backup choice in some other places? I know Cleveland, there's a perception that they wanted Chip Kelly and he was their backup.
I think that perception's wrong.
He wanted to be the number one choice.
Well, it doesn't. He was the right guy for us, Jer. I mean, there's so much false and misleading information that's out there. I mean, it's unbelievable how much when you're made aware of the information that's out there. We focused on our search and our search alone, which led us to Doug.
The question I would have is, are there any members of the staff that was just released? And I know Doug and you, or however you work this out, but obviously some of these assistant coaches that were just like Will have pretty good reputations. Is there any chance that any of them or some of them might come back?
Yeah, I would say there's a chance, but it's strictly up to Doug. He has said he would interview these guys if it hadn't been hired. Then the decision will be his.
Buddy, what's your perception of, based on talking to candidates, how this organization was perceived versus in 2010?
You know, it's unbelievable, really. And I got in on that late, but we were kind of blown away at we had the opportunity, if we wanted to, at a lot of guys. And we had... Really, there was more interest than we expected.
Doug obviously had great success with Ryan Nassib at Syracuse. He helped him
right.
Into a pro prospect. How much of your discussion with Doug, football, draft, quarterback, was there? I mean, obviously, you've said you've got to draft a quarterback. How much of the discussion with Doug was focused on what he wants to do with quarterback?
You know, we covered that just like we covered everything, but I don't think we emphasized that anymore. Nassib, we were looking at him for quite a while. I mean, he's one of the quarterbacks that out there that's going to be drafted and one we were interested in. So I don't think any of that entered into it, really.
When you watched Syracuse, what did you like about what you saw on the field, schematically?
The quarterback or the coach?
Just the way when you watched their team. What did you like about the way they looked on the field, what they did on the field?
You know, when we first started, the first game I went to was Connecticut. I saw them play Connecticut. And, when I went in there, and I've known Doug, and I was hoping that he could get it turned around because it looked like they might be in trouble. And nobody had said that. But how I was impressed at how he got them playing by the end of the year. And then I saw him again. I saw him practice fundamentally and the things it takes to turn it around. I mean, you could see it all. He had a plan, and they did a great job of teaching it. So to see that kind of improvement was impressive.
But kind of along those lines, we heard from Russ on this, but you had said the day that Chan was let go, I guess, or the day after, excuse me, that the percentages favored a guy who'd been a head coach at the NFL level. I believe that was what you had suggested. But you were open to other. What was it about him that convinced you that giving him the chance without that actual NFL head coaching experience would make the difference?
Well, you know, he didn't mention it, but he gets a lot of credit for what they did in New Orleans. So he's been through rebuilding and turning around. We're not in a rebuilding mode, but turning around attitude and turning around teams. He's done it. He knows how to do it. I don't think there's, you'd like to think that you wouldn't hire somebody that this league was foreign to, that didn't understand the NFL because it is different. But 7 years and been a coordinator, been it all, he knows how to do it. Plus he's run the show at Syracuse.
You got a raise.
He's closer.
We're talking cutting edge here, and that's important, but I sense a lot of old school in him and what I've read. Do you, and you've seen a lot of the schools in your career. Do you see
You always bring up my age, Jay.
I've seen a few myself.
Yeah.
You see him as a nice combination of old school and the cutting edge stuff we've been talking
about. I do. This guy's, he's highly intelligent and knows about all the, keeps up with all the new trends and he gets enough coaching at home. He knows about the old school stuff too. So we're got the best of both worlds.
Exhaustive search is the word or the phrase that keeps being used. Why not interview any of the coaches who were active this past weekend in the first round of playoffs?
Well, if you do that, you lose the guy you want. And good, we couldn't have gone another day. We would have been starting over. So.
You know, Mike Tomlin's always thrown out as the quintessential example of you don't know he's the guy you want until you interview him, of the inability to...
We knew the guy we wanted when we interviewed him. So, and there he is. So, why go any further? We did everything up until then. He did all his due diligence with the teams that he had to talk to. We all did that. And when we got to the guy we knew we wanted, that's what we did. Oh, yeah, I mean, counting all of them, for sure. First and last.
His first interview was the last guy you interviewed. So, in other words, you didn't have a follow-up interview.
No, we did. Well, we did, but we didn't follow up with it. Right. Okay.
So you did meet with him on Wednesdays or Tuesdays, is that correct?
Hell, I don't even know what day today is. I mean, it's been a rat race. So I have no idea how that went.
He was the first guy we talked to, wasn't he?
Second guy.
Okay.